Hello and welcome to the Daily Connect podcast for Tuesday. It's the 18th of September, and on today's programme we had so much discussion, which I hope you get involved in. I know lots of you do enjoy listening to the podcast just to catch up on those conversations. Well, today we talk about the hashtag Just Ask, Don't Grab campaign by Amy Kavanagh, and we're also joined by Masuma Ali and Bhavini Makwana, both from East London Vision, to talk about what people should do when they approach a blind person in the street to offer help. Don't grab, ask is basically the advice. We'll get into that conversation and some shocking examples of when it's been done. That's coming up. Also, some tech talk as well. Sean Preece is our tech talker, you will know from the other show. Well, he is here to tell us how to make a phone call. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But actually, you know, with a smartphone, making a phone call can be rather complicated. We're going to be finding out about some simple ways to do that. And our society of the week this week is Thrive. We're going to be finding out about them. If you're green-fingered at all, despite the weather outside at the moment, when the weather starts to get a bit nice, gets a bit more autumnal and you want to get out there in the garden, then we've got some great advice for you how to do that with a charity dedicated to that very purpose, helping blind and partially sighted people get out into the garden. But before all of that, Sandra White is chair of RNIB Scotland, and she requires your presence.
The event at the Mitchell Library is part of the celebrations for the 150th anniversary of RNIB and the 30th anniversary of the Resource Unit for Visual Impairment at the Mitchell Library. And we thought we would join the two together because we have very similar aims. So the idea is to promote reading for people with sight loss, and to show just how it's evolved from 1868, the very first early Braille moon, come right through where we had the talking books, audio books, starting off as very much the province of blind and partially sighted people. But now everybody's got an audio book in the car, and we also have apps, we have downloadable services. There are many, many ways that people can read, including, you know, the traditional Braille and large print. Well, the Ruvie Service supports people with sight loss in the west of Scotland. It helps them to learn to use certain bits of time technology, helps them in sourcing accessible information, anything to do with reading, sight loss, and how it can be made better. What we're aiming to do at the event is to show people just how accessible reading now is for blind and partially sighted people, but also how libraries can help. Public libraries are a great resource for people. I seem to remember as a child, the societies, it was in Glasgow, sent books to my local library in Calder Street, and I went down and got these books the way my brother went in. My brother, who's fully sighted, still speaks of how he valued the local library as a boy, because I come from a family of avid readers. So what we want to do is to encourage libraries to make sure that their services are accessible, that their apps are accessible. It's great that you can read a library book online or on a digital device, but you've got to be able to access the app to be able to do that. So we're having a session in the morning where we're going to just have very brief presentations, brevity is the order of the day, about how reading has changed, what RNIB can offer, what Ruvie can offer, and we're hoping to attract to that senior library staff, people from the information world, but also some blind and partially sighted people who are avid readers. We're a bit limited for space, so that event is quite closed, but the bribe and the incentive to come along is a piece of celebration cake. That session's from 11 till 12. At 12 o'clock, we throw open the doors and we want everybody who can possibly get to the Mitchell Library to come and see the exhibition of Reading Then and Now, ranging from Braille in the early days through the early writing machines for Braille, talking book machines, showing how they started off as great things you could hardly lift and now you stick it in your pocket or on your phone, and demonstrating some of the new digital solutions so that people can see just how accessible reading has to become. But also there are key messages we want to get across, Alan. One is that Although a lot of information is now accessible, there's still a great deal of the printed word that blind and partially sighted people can't access. I think it's 5% of what is produced is available in accessible formats. Now, you might think of 5% of everything that's published is going to do you most of or all of your natural life, but it's got to be the 5% you want to read. Also, we want to promote Braille. Audio is great. We all use audio. But if you read Braille, you have got total independence. And if you spend all your life without sight and you're dependent fully on audio and being spoken to, the spoken world, then you're missing out on the fundamentals of communication, of grammar, spelling, punctuation, just the written word. And also, those of us who do read Braille, there are many ways you can read it now. You don't have to carry around umpteen huge volumes. You can read it in various ways, a Braille display on a laptop, a pocket device like the Victor Stream. You can read it on your phone with a Braille display. So we do want to promote Braille, encourage schools to take Braille very seriously, but as one of the many options the blind and partially sighted people have, many of us do use a mixture. I don't live in Glasgow. Although I'm an exiled Glaswegian, I don't live in Glasgow. But I do a lot of work at Ruby with the library officer there on technology, trying out different bits of technology, that type of thing. I've also been in the Mitchell Library a lot when people have been in getting help from Anne Hamilton, who runs the service there. And it's an extremely valuable resource for people in Glasgow and the west of Scotland, or anybody who want to know something about reading, communicating with sight loss. If I was asked my book for the desert island, I would take Thackeray's Vanity Fair. I don't think it's my favourite book, but I don't think there's a word on the page in Vanity Fair that hasn't been placed there. And if I was on the desert island, I would have really time to read it from cover to cover very thoroughly, write up my learned work on it, and bore everybody stiff if I got off the desert island. I read a lot of crime fiction, but I also read a bit of biography. I read a lot of cricket biography. And from time to time, I do read a heavy. When I was at university, I studied all the great works of literature. The novels I go back to, I don't now reread things like Paradise Lost and The Faerie Queen.
Well, thank you, Sandra, for sharing your thoughts and telling us about the event that's coming up at the Mitchell Library. Brilliant event and great place as well if you live in Glasgow. It is a very useful resource centre, especially if you're in education and you want to get access to all kinds of materials in accessible formats. Well, it's the place to go. Right, if you have got something that you would like to share, maybe an event coming up in your area, wherever you are in the UK, then please do tell us. Email radio at rnib.org.uk or find us on social media and share a message there, either through Twitter or through Facebook.
The Daily Connect podcast.
This is RNIB Connect Radio and it is The Daily Connect with me, Stephen Scott. Today on The Connect Conversation, we're going to talk about being grabbed in the street. Yes, it's one of those things that happens to a lot of us as blind people. We get grabbed and pulled across roads we never intended to cross and all that kind of thing. And one person in particular is a bit fed up with it, and that's Amy Kavanagh, who joins us. Hello, Amy.
Good morning.
So tell us about your campaign that you've launched on Twitter, which has received quite a lot of interest. It's called Just Ask, Don't Grab. Kind of speaks for itself, but do explain it.
So it all started because I started to use a white cane. I was born visually impaired, but I didn't use a white cane until about a year ago. And I love my social media, and I noticed that I just kept being grabbed by people. And I tweeted about it a few times because I was so shocked how often it happened. And then I was just getting hundreds of replies from visually impaired people, from other disabled people saying, yeah, this happens to me too. And so I decided, right, let's try and make a bit of a change here and do something about it, raise some awareness.
So you went on to Twitter initially, yeah? And you started the campaign there?
Yes, I did. I started a hashtag, just ask, don't grab, trying to really get the very simplest basic message out there that if you do see somebody with a disability, with a visual impairment that you want to help, just ask them, just say, hi, you know, my name's this, do you need some assistance and how can I help you, before putting your hands on someone.
What's the worst experience that you've had?
It was probably at the top of an escalator on the London Underground. I was preparing to board the escalator. I have some residual vision, but I don't have depth perception. So I really do rely on my cane to feel where the escalator starts, where the ridge, where the step is. And I began to try and step on, and a woman started pulling me onto the escalator. And I said to her, you know, please stop touching me, I'm fine, you know, and she would not let go of me. She was really pulling me, and I started to feel really unbalanced, and it was a very tall escalator, and I thought, I'm going to plummet down this. And eventually I just had to scream at her, just take your hands off me. And she stormed off in a huff, and I was left rather shell-shocked on the rest of my journey down the escalator.
I mean, it's often the case that we're trying to be, you know, nice people about things. You know, we want to not give anyone the impression that we, you know, don't want help. And, you know, we hear a lot. And I remember, I've said this before on the show, but, you know, I remember when I was getting guide dog training a few years back, in fact, several years back now when I think about it. And they suggested to me that if someone does approach you and does offer help, be nice about it. Even if they're not particularly nice, you be nice, because you don't want someone saying, well, you know, I helped a blind person and they were rude to me, so I'm never helping another blind person again. Where do you stand on that argument?
Yeah, exactly. I would say that instance, and I do only ever really shout or get firm where I have to prioritise my own safety above, like, the impression I'm giving. And actually, when I have been polite but firm with most people, it's gone down really well. I was walking towards a set of stairs, and you know, I felt the tactile paving, and suddenly, I'm sure this happened to all of us, a hand clamps down on my shoulder and yanks me back, and they say, oh, I've saved you from the stairs. And I say, oh, actually, you know, this tactile paving told me that there were stairs and I was fine, and what you did there, it was actually quite frightening. You know, you pulled me off balance. Next time, just shout or say, you know, do you need any help, there's some stairs there. And the guy went, oh, okay, I know for next time. Thank you for telling me. And people who genuinely want to help want to know how to help best, right? Mm. There's a lot of awkwardness about interacting with people with disabilities. People say they're worried about causing offence. Well, I don't think you're ever going to cause offence if you just ask. I'm never offended unless someone's exceptionally rude or is abusive. But if someone says, oh, do you need a hand? Even if I'm fine, I can just say, oh, no, thank you, that's fine. And then everyone feels okay about it. There's no crosswords needed.
At this point, let me bring in two members of East London Vision who are also part of this conversation, because I think what's important is that we talk about the issue, but also what people should do. And I know you're suggesting this, Amy, with, you know, the just ask, don't grab. But I think there's also some practical things and good advice. And East London Vision were very much on the case with this. Let me bring in Bhavini Makwana and Masuma Ali, who are also with us here. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Let me ask you both, first of all, Bhavini, we'll start with you. What's your experience of what Amy's been talking about? Have you had similar experiences?
I have. So I was getting off the train, and it's happened quite a few times. I use a white cane, and I normally hold on to the rail on the side to help myself get off the train. And in so many instances, and sometimes shockingly by assistant staff, they will grab my arm, the one that I'm using the cane, or actually lift my cane up. And I've had to say to them in so many instances that that is so dangerous, because I need my cane. I need that contact with the ground, because I need to know the level, the depth of the step I need to put my foot down. By you doing that, it just puts me in such a dangerous position, especially at peak time when there's so many people rushing to get off at the same time. But I've also had it by taxi drivers, and so I'm actually training with my first guide dog at the moment, and whilst on training I've had people come up to me and sort of grab me. So right now my guide dog mobility instructor is sort of, you know, far behind, just observing from as behind as she can, and I've had people telling me, just guiding me around a bollard or something, and my guide dog's doing it. And I said, no, please don't do that. I'm training my guide dog, and he will learn. He will, you know, guide me safely. By you grabbing me, it's just complicating it. But thank you so much. You know, please just let me know by telling me what's in front or what hazards are in front of me. So, I have experienced it in several occasions.
I mean, it's interesting you talk about the picking up the cane. I had that once, and I was getting onto a cruise ship and someone picked up my cane.
And
I thought, well, what's the worst that could happen? Oh, yes, I could fall in the sea. So that was probably, these are the kind of things that, and you kind of think to yourself, at what point does somebody think that's a good idea? Masuma, what about you? What's your experience been?
I have to echo both Amy's and Amy's sentiments in the sense that I've had many of those experiences. And I do think as blind and partially sighted people, when we're out and about, as much as we may not want to at times, we are there to educate people. And sometimes we don't want it to be our role because we just want to be out there, we want to enjoy our evening or lunch or whatever it is that we're doing. But you're constantly having to tell people, actually, no, one, I don't want help, or two, if you do want help, this is how you should be doing it. And I've had people pick up my cane, pull me along. I mean, real life incident, waiting for a cab driver comes along, literally picks up the bottom of my cane and pulls me along. I was like, no, you don't do that.
Amy, where do you stand on this idea that we are out there as ambassadors, that we are out there as, people that should be, giving our time to educate people? Is that where you stand on this? Do you think it's good to do that?
I think it's an unavoidable consequence of being visibly disabled, but I think it is a really difficult burden to put on us. And I do use the word burden because it can be exhausting on a daily basis. I think especially when you live and regularly commute in a busy area like London, if I had to educate every single person that laid their hands on me, I'd never get to work on time. I'd miss every film I was trying to see. And sometimes you do just have to brush it off and think like, okay, it wasn't awful. I wasn't put at risk. I'll just deal with that today. And that's kind of why I started the campaign, because I'm like, you know what? Maybe it should be part of people's education. There should be something in the national curriculum about disability awareness, how to offer assistance. It should be part of training at most workplaces. The fact that it ends up being our job all the time to be ambassadors is hard. And, non-disabled people don't have that kind of duty thrust upon them.
Okay, well, stay with us, guys. We're going to come back with Amy Bavini and Masuma shortly, because we're going to continue this conversation, get into the aspects of what we should be doing, and maybe talk about some other areas around this as well. Stay with us. This is RNIB Connect Radio.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
Time now to talk technology with our own Sean Preece, who joins me on the technology show Tech Talk every week. And he's here now to tell us how to do something which might appear really simple, but actually on a smartphone might be a bit more awkward than you think. And that is making a phone call.
Do you, like me, love everything your smartphone can do? Except for when it comes to making phone calls. You've got to open the phone app, navigate to the keypad section, or even worse, swipe through a massive list of contacts. Oh, it just seems to take so long. Well, of course there's an easier way. Just ask the voice assistant. Yes, I can hear you all now shouting at the phone, Sean, this is so easy. We all know how to do this. Well, hang on, bear with me, because I bet in this list of commands I'm going to give you now, there is at least one you didn't know. Now, there's a challenge. Here's a list of voice commands you can use with Siri to make making phone calls a lot easier. There's two ways to wake Siri up and get her to listen to your commands. Simply hold down the home button on your phone until you hear this noise. Or if your iPhone supports it, you can simply say the word "Hey," followed by the word "Siri." When Siri is awake and listening to you, you can simply say "Call" or "Ring." Siri will then ask you, "Who do you want to call?" Try to resist the temptation to say Ghostbusters and simply say a name from your contact list or a telephone number. and Siri will place the call. Easy, but let's make it even easier. Let's do away with that extra step. Simply wake up Siri and say, call contact name or call telephone number, and it will place the call straight away. Also, if someone in your contacts list has multiple numbers, such as a mobile and a landline, you could say, for example, call mum at home or call mum's mobile, and Siri will place the call to the right number. You can also make FaceTime audio and video calls using the same method. For example, FaceTime audio call mum or FaceTime video call dad. Well, that's the basics, but did you also know that if you make a call and you want to redial that number, you can ask Siri to simply redial last number? And if you're feeling extra lazy and you don't want to get off the sofa, you can also say, for example, call mum at home using speakerphone. And the call would be placed, you guessed it, using the speakerphone. Sadly, you will have to get off the settee if you want to hang up the call, but you can't have everything. If you're one of the few people that actually listens to your voicemails, simply ask, have I got any new voicemails? Or call voicemail. Finally, and far more interesting, is show my call history.
You have at least 25 calls. The first is a call to Stephen Scott yesterday at 14:18. A missed call from Stephen Scott for yesterday at 13:55. A call from Stephen Scott last Saturday at 10:34. Do you want to hear the next three?
No, I think I'm being stalked. And that's it. Look, I know this may seem really straightforward and easy and obvious to some people, but there's lots of people out there that don't know you can even do this. And it really does make making phone calls so much easier. Also, if you do have an Android phone, most of these commands will work just the same using the Google Voice Assistant. That's it. Call me.
I only called you once, Sean. That's fake news. He set that up. Set me up. Hey, listen, that is a great feature. And, you know, I didn't even know about the redial thing. That is brilliant to know. Sean's back, of course, on the Tech Talk podcast with me every single week. Check it out right now over on the RNIB Tech Talk podcast. Get the very latest episode there where we talk all about Apple and the big event that happened last week. The new phones that came out, and the new watch as well. We get into that and try and explain it to you in a very simple way, because there's so much geekiness around this. We try to simplify it and make it a bit blind friendly as well. You know, if you're blind, do you want any of this stuff? We'll talk about that. Also, Amazon have launched a new Fire tablet. We'll be talking about that and lots of your emails as well. That's all on Tech Talk, which you'll get, as I say, on the RNIB Connect. No, the RNIB Tech Talk podcast. We've so many podcasts. They're all great, though.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
This is RNIB Connect Radio. It's the Connect Conversation with Amy Kavanagh today, putting forward her views on a campaign which she started called Just Ask, Don't Grab. It's a hashtag that you're running, Amy. Also joining us from East London Vision is Bavini and Masuma. And I want to just get into a little bit about what you guys have been doing at East London Vision, Bavini and Masuma, because I've been watching a couple of the videos you've done. You've been trying to educate people yourselves on the right way to approach someone, because this is the problem. You know, we talk a lot about the issues, but it is really important that people know what to do in a situation where they come up with a blind person that they might think needs assistance. Talk us through, if you will, what you've been doing at East London Vision.
So we were fortunate to have some funding, and we thought, what's the best way of making use of that funding? So it was around some sort of vision impairment awareness, and a video serves a long-term purpose where it's used in the moment for the purpose that it was needed, but equally it can be used hopefully many years down the line. And the idea was to kind of give people a better understanding of how to assist somebody that is blind or partially sighted if they ever came across someone. And the idea is, so, you know, we don't get grabbed or pulled off trains and thrown onto escalators when we don't want to be. So it's hopefully kind of demystify some of the things that people should do and people shouldn't do.
Bhavini, I remember a story of a friend who told me that they were standing waiting for a train and they had a backpack on and someone came up behind them, and when the train stopped, the doors opened. I kind of laugh. It's not funny, but, you know, it happened. He thought it was hilarious, but not at the time, where he was standing there. He's got the backpack on, the train doors open, and somebody grabbed his backpack, not him, but the backpack, and steered him onto the train. So just pulled him to the left and then shoved him onto the train.
That's shocking.
What do you say to someone who's doing that? What advice do you give them?
Would just immediately just say to them, what are you doing? You know, just say, excuse me, the train doors have opened. I'm sure I'm going to hear it, but thank you. Just talk. Just let me know that the doors are right in front of me, and or just try and put my hand to the edge of the train doors or something, and I'll guide myself in. I mean, that is so dangerous. I mean, you know, he could just make a step forward and just fall in that gap. That's what I'd be scared of.
Is there another fear here? And I want to put this to all of you. Is there a fear that, you know, because this happens to all of us at some point, and that example I've given there, and the many examples that you guys have given, you know, that's got to be a fear for a lot of us. And I guess that's why, Amy, that is why your campaign is so important, because grabbing us in public is not acceptable, really, is it?
No, and I think we've all also probably had incidents where the intentions have been malicious, right? You know, I think as ladies, I think we've all experienced somebody saying, oh, come on, my darling, I'll help you, and then has tried to inappropriately touch us. I had 2 weeks ago a man follow me down the street. He kept sort of trying to get me to cross roads with him. I didn't want to. And then after about the third attempt, he pulled on my handbag and I realized he was basically trying to suss out how he could mug me. He didn't. I shouted at him quite loudly and he went away. But those are the minority, you know, that the majority of people who do grab us do have a good intention, but they need to understand that we have those experiences as well. And we don't know who's friend or foe. Each incident could be putting us at risk, either intentionally to cause us harm or to assault us or to take our possessions, or they could put us in danger's way by not knowing how to assist properly, by pushing us towards that train gap, by unbalancing us at the top of the stairs. And that's a really strong message I've had. You know, I know you want to be helpful when you're doing this, but often you cause more harm than good. You leave us frightened, disorientated, startled, and that's why you must ask first.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, you know, I do agree that there are hopefully more nice people than not nice people, but that fear is always there at the back of the mind. Is this person offering me help because they genuinely want to help me, or do they have other motives in mind? It's a tough call, because sometimes we do find ourselves in situations where actually we could do with a little bit of a hand, or just want to be kind of told, have I gone past this landmark? You don't know. You don't know the person you're going to say, even when you interact with the public, when you're saying excuse me to someone, what's coming your way. To have it when someone grabs you, it just intensifies that fear to a million times more. So the message of don't grabbing, it's so important. You know, if you really want to get our attention, excuse me, and a light tap on the shoulder is less alarming than grabbing someone when they're not expecting you to do so.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree, because many times when I've needed the help just to make sure that I've gone across the road, you know, sometimes I have, when I used to be a cane user, veered off a little bit. You know, walking in a straight line is such a struggle sometimes, and I do need that just a little bit of help and support from someone just to make sure I'm on the right track. But I will kind of wait for so many people to go past, because you just don't know who you're asking, who you're being approached by. And it is that you are, I mean, I hate the word vulnerable, but you are, I mean, I find myself in a vulnerable situation when I have to ask people, have I gone in the right place? Am I in the right direction? Because you're just alerting your and highlighting your vision impairment to them, and God knows what could happen. So I do agree as well, constantly sort of being in that situation and then having to inform and educate everyone how the best way to do it, it is exhausting. It can be tiring. So I try and do, which I have done on I'm a Facebook user, and I try and educate, you know, the public via posts, by videos and stuff like that, because doing it constantly on a daily basis, it's tiring. You just want to get to A to B like everybody else without having all the middle palaver attached to it.
Amy, the campaign is live. People can get involved. They can use the hashtag. Strongly encourage people to do that. What's next for the campaign? What's your next plan? Or is that it for you?
Well, I mean, I want it to keep getting attention as much as possible. I've been very lucky with the media coverage that I've got so far. I really want people to continue to contribute their experiences, because actually, when you do break it down for people and explain, and this even happened on one of the news reports I did. They actually filmed somebody grabbing me, and they filmed me explaining to him, that was really frightening. You disorientated me. We were at a road. It was scary. And people always go, of course it was. Why didn't I think of that? And people are just acting and panicking without thinking it through. And we're just kind of encouraging them to engage that thought process. I think my greater ambition, although it might be a little bit lofty, I think this is all down to a lack of conversations and awareness about disability, about visual impairment in schools, in work, in the workplace. You know, I think that there's a lot of statistics about people don't want to talk to disabled people. And if we can flip this on its head and say it's not just a negative thing, it's not just about not grabbing people, but it's about starting really meaningful conversations. I'm sure all of us have had lovely conversations with people who have helped us. You know, we've all been in a flood of tears in the middle of the train station, freaked out, needing help, and someone's been really kind and nice and made a difference. So that's the other half of the message I really want to get out. When you offer that help, and when it's genuine and kind and useful and not grabby, you make a huge difference to someone's day. And that's a really lovely way to connect and make us all feel like part of the community. So I think spreading that message as well is really important.
I think it's a great message. Amy Kavanagh and Bhavini Makwana, as well as Masumi Ali, who are from East London Vision, thank you so much for being with us here on RNIB Connect Radio today. Really enjoyed the chat, ladies.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Time now to find out what you've been saying about the Daily Connect. It's all good, I'm sure, but Chris Wallace, our producer, is here to talk us through the feedback. Hi, Chris.
Hello. We should get a jingle.
Well, listen, you did so well with something for the weekend.
Took me about 3 weeks.
I know. But maybe do that. Your views.
Ding dong.
That's the best you're going to get.
You know, I put the bell in. Okay, let's start with some views. And the first one is from Billy Burrell, who says, "Hi, Stephen. I enjoy listening to your Daily Connect show via the podcast and the variety of topics it covers. And I hope that you might share my email about an interest I have with your listeners. I've always had a fascination for wildlife and in particular birds. And even after losing my sight 10 years ago, I still enjoy listening to the birds in my garden while I'm out and about. It's surprising how quickly you can learn to identify birds from their calls and song. And there is an excellent podcast out there for anyone like me who is visually impaired but still has a passion for birds. It's called The Casual Birder and is created by host Susie Buttress. I would recommend the podcast to anyone with an interest in birds, whether visually impaired or not, and I would appreciate it if you could give it a mention on your show. Keep up the good work." From Billy.
Consider it done, Billy.
Done, yeah. Billy. Thanks very much for that. Okay,
thank you for listening, Billy.
Now to some of the topics that have come up over the past week. And the news review caused a little bit of chat on Twitter this week. Ken got in touch regarding dockless bikes to say, "You are assuming some thinking took place when leaving these bikes. Most obstacles aren't placed maliciously, just carelessly." Ryan countered on Facebook. He said, "Heard the show today and it's a great point that there was never on my mind until earlier. It was discussed in the morning in my house with my mum, and we do think it's thoughtless to leave the bike and not return it. On a personal point, more stations to put them back did sound fairly reasonable." So yeah, a few things on dockless bikes there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big conversation, you know, and I'm glad people are taking part in it.
and Aaron Ibe are currently campaigning on it as well.
Yeah, well, that's what this is all about. Like I say this, you know, it's all very well sitting in your house mourning, but actually getting out there and actually saying something does make a difference, because now Aaron Ibe, as you say, are doing the campaign, which is
absolutely
fantastic.
Our very second Connect conversation, we overlooked uploading it to the podcast. It's up there now. You can listen to it again. It's all about guide dog refusals and has Laura Fasci, MBE, as well as Sam Little from the BBC Social on it. That went up this week. So a lot of people have been talking about it, including Laura herself, who got back in touch to say, not long after I was refused access to a taxi up in Edinburgh because the driver didn't want my guide dog in his car, I spoke to RNIB Radio about how it made me feel. I have recently been informed that the driver in question has been cautioned.
Well, that's good news.
Okay. Yeah, all going. Jeremy got in touch via Twitter to say, quite right too. And Michelle said, so he should. It's dangerous leaving anyone. Sam also got back in touch and said, after I made the video for the BBC Social about being refused taxis because of my guide dog, I had a really good chat with Stephen on RNIB Connect Radio about the impact it has had. Ian via Twitter said, the same drivers are happy to allow mums with kids with sticky fingers into their cabs, and they'll let some drunks drive home, but not guide dogs.
Well, no, they don't let them drive home.
No, they don't let them drive. they do take them home. They do take them home.
Listen, just a quick one on jam and marmalade. This has been an ongoing debate.
Absolutely. It was the debate of the day yesterday. Yeah. We couldn't get away from it. We have an overall winner.
Do we?
Marmalade wins
no,
by one
come
point.
On. Oh,
marmalade
my audience, what
six,
have you done?
Jam five. There was a few, you know, wild cards thrown up there, like Bovril.
That's not a drink.
Spread. That's a drink. But marmalade wins 6-5. And there's a new Daily Connect poll up to date. If anyone's not checked it out yet, get on it. What would you do if you were grabbed by someone as you tried to cross the road? Respond angrily, pull away and say nothing, or politely refuse. The votes have started. We'll let you know the results come Thursday.
Chris, thank you for coming in.
You're very welcome, sir.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
Finally on the podcast today, I thought I'd tell you about a society of the week we've been talking about on the Daily Connect. It's called Thrive, and it's there for blind and partially sighted people who want to get back out in the garden.
Thrive has been in existence for almost 40 years. We're actually celebrating our 40th anniversary in 2018. It was set up by a chap called Chris Underhill. He caught the interest of a man called the Reverend Dr. Geoffrey Oodle. And when Geoffrey died, he left us his whole estate. So we've got this amazing 3-acre Victorian walled garden. And that put us on such a sound footing that, you know, we've been able to expand. In the 80s, there was a garden in Battersea Park, so we established ourselves in London. We've also set up two new garden projects, one in Birmingham, based in King's Heath Park, in the former TV gardens that used to be used by Pebble Mill and Gardeners World back in the day. And we also work in Saltwell Park in Gateshead. In a nutshell, gardening is the tool that we use to help people. We talk about the five key benefits of gardening because it is more than just a leisure activity. So one of the benefits would be better physical health. One of the benefits would be improved mental health, because as you're doing things, you're sort of naturally feeling better. There's also the social aspect. Gardeners are very sociable people. Sometimes we work individually, but more often than not, we work in a group. You have a common shared interest in gardening, what you're planting, what you're growing. You share tips with each other. It's a very sociable activity. Then there's also learning new skills. So we teach good ways of gardening, good ways of carrying on. There are lots of tips that we can share with you about how to you know, maintain good health. That's four benefits. The fifth and final benefit is what's called the biophilia effect. So just you naturally feel better being outside and in a garden. They're restorative environments, gardens, and give you a real feel-good factor.
My name's Tanya Nichols. I've been blind since birth. All my family are farmers. I like the outdoor life. Done a little bit of gardening at school, but not as big as it is here. Basically here, normally we'd have three groups. We have two projects off site with Thrive here. One group goes to the Vine National Trust near to Basingstoke. Got a couple of beds there. And we go to Sandon Memorial, which is another National Trust place, but it's a lot more smaller. And then we do the Vine each day of the week as different people come in. I do the walled garden at the Vine on a Tuesday with one therapist and volunteer. And then on the Wednesday, I go to the Vine again to do conservation, which is cutting trees down, bashing the bracken down so you get rid of all the spores, rhododendron cutting back, done the lawn mowing, grand round veg, you have your plots here. Yeah, I quite like the good exercise. I thoroughly enjoy it.
So with someone with a visual impairment, we would talk to them about what they want to achieve. Some of them might want to work towards a qualification because we're actually a City and Guilds approved centre, so people can get a horticultural qualification with us. I mean, our garden here in Beech Hill, we've got an area where we've designed it with a visual impairment in mind. And I think a lot of people think that when you have a visual impairment, you want the most scented, fragrant garden ever. And that's all people think about. Oh, let's put some smelly plants in. And it's just like, oh, well, let's have like one or two smelly plants because, you know, smells can be so overpowering. So you've got to think about a fragrant plant. You've got to think about the sounds that plants make. So that's why grasses are very good. So you can listen to grasses swishing in the wind. You've got to make sure your flooring is obviously top-notch, so there's no trip hazards. Using yellow-coloured plants, because yellow is the last colour to go if you're losing your sight. So it's not just, let's put some smelly plants in. And there's also, we do have resources online that people can access that blind gardeners have shared with other blind gardeners. But as I said, you know, we do work with a wide range of illnesses or, you know, disabilities.
Thanks to Alison and Tony there for telling us about the charity Thrive. It's our Society of the Week on the Daily Connect. If you've got a society that you're a part of that you want to tell the world about, then email us and tell us about it. Make sure they get the recognition they deserve. We will feature it on the programme. So all you do is email radio@rnib.org.uk or drop us a message on Twitter or on Facebook. Just a quick word to say about our Daily Connect poll that's running. Check it out on Twitter. You know, we heard earlier from the girls about being grabbed in the street and pulled across the road. You know, if you're blind or partially sighted, this happens quite a lot. Well, what's your reaction to that is the question in our poll today. If you were approached by someone and they dragged you across the road, would you be happy about that? Would you be saying, yeah, no problem, fine? Or would you be really angry about it? Or would you try and kind of shrug it off and not make any contact with the person? Well, get involved with the RNIB Daily Connect poll, which you'll find on Twitter, at RNIB Radio. Get on there, tell us your thoughts. If you take part in the poll, that's great, but we'd love you to comment as well. So find that on Twitter, and we'll catch you tomorrow for another Daily Connect, live from 10 a.m. till 12 on RNIB Connect Radio, on Freeview Channel 730, and online, and on your smart speaker as well. Or you can catch us just after 5, right here on the podcast on RNIB Connect. Bye.
The Daily Connect Podcast.